Hello, I am Trent Rinesmith. It is Thursday, September 2nd, and this is another edition of the Come On Now MMA podcast. And the topics for today are John McCarthy sounds kind of like Dana White when he talks about when he's talking about Gable Steveson here and Steveson's choice between MMA and pro wrestling. Dana White says some sexist things, and joking or not, sometimes you can hide your true feelings behind a joke. And maybe that's the case. Colby Covington decides that his shtick is more important than actually improving as a fighter, and not surprised. The UFC bullies Ally Quinta, and I explain why and how, and this is not a rare occurrence. Conor McGregor is either lacking self-awareness, trolling, or just not that bright. I'm going to go with the lacking self-awareness and maybe a little touch of not that bright. Speaking of not that bright, Darren Till doesn't really think things through when he makes the argument that trash talking in MMA is kind of proving that you're tough. I say a tough person probably doesn't need the trash talk and bring somebody's mother and children into the equation, but what do I know? And now, on with the show. John McCarthy, who now works for Bellator, and I have to mention that because I think it plays a role into what he said here in regard to Gable Steveson, and a couple tweets, and I want to discuss those tweets and the message to Gable Steveson. So the first tweet was, yeah, it's been done before, but ask Kurt Angle what's a regret he has not competing in MMA would be one. Don't take great athletic ability and all those years of training and throw them away to be a stuntman that loses when the boss says you lose. You can always do fake stuff later. Then he followed it up when someone said that the WWE pays more than MMA. And McCarthy said, if they make it to the top, they all get paid, but you have to be honest with yourself and answer, do I want to compete against the very best and be the person in control of my accomplishments? Or do I want to make money, give up real competition, and have scripts tell me when I lose? So I understand what McCarthy is saying here, and I can appreciate it in some ways, but let me break it down a little bit and just look at what he's saying here. So Kurt Angle has some regrets in not competing in MMA and going the WWE and pro wrestling route. Fine. But that's one person. You can't make a sweeping statement or a sweeping argument based on what one person does. And here he says, don't take great athletic ability and all those years of training and throw them away to be a stuntman that loses when the boss says you lose. This kind of ignores a lot of facts about MMA and pro wrestling. Now I'm going to assume, let's just assume here, for the sake of argument, that Steveson makes his decision and goes either WWE or UFC, which are probably his two destinations, just because of name recognition, just because of athletic accomplishments, and just because of the athlete that he is. And so why is McCarthy equating WWE to being a stuntman that loses when the boss says you lose? Because he makes the argument here that it's basically acting, and if you compete in MMA, you'll get a clear path to the top as long as you do what you know, as a fighter, if you just fight and just do the best that you can, it's a clear path to the title. And we know for a fact that that's not true. If Steveson comes out and joins UFC and he fights a wrestling-centric style, his path to the title is not guaranteed. And so if he has a better chance to make money at pro wrestling and, you know, the contract is stipulated that this and this and this and this is going to happen, well, then that's probably going to happen for him in WWE. If he joins the UFC and he's deemed boring, if he doesn't satisfy or check the boxes that Dana White wants him to check, there is no guarantee of anything in the UFC. And there's no guarantee that if you do the wrong thing or you lose one fight, that you're going to be released from the UFC. It's a fickle sport, and it has one man that makes all the decisions, and those decisions aren't always based on athletic accomplishments. You could say the same for WWE for sure, but it's much more likely that you'll have success in the WWE if the boss there wants you to have success in the WWE and tells you you're going to have success and instructs the writers to give you success. That's not the case in the UFC. So we'll ignore that. And we'll also ignore the fact that McCarthy here is taking shots at the WWE by saying you can do the fake stuff later. Ask these folks how fake it is. Predetermined, sure. But the amount of training, the amount of action, the amount of matches that are performed in a year, that's not fake. That takes a toll on the body. So don't use fake when it comes to WWE. And I'm not a wrestling fan, but I know enough about pro wrestling that these folks are doing hard work. And to claim it's fake is just shitting all over their work. The thing here, do I want to compete against the very best and be the person in control of my accomplishments? Or do I want to make money, give up real competition, and have scripts tell me when I lose? Let's look at this piece by piece. Do I want to compete the very best and be the person in control of my accomplishments? Are you in control of your accomplishments when you fight for the UFC? No. If that was the case, John Jones and Francis Ngannou would have fought already. You're in control of very little in the UFC. Unless you agree to do what Dana White says, I guess you could consider yourself that you're in control of your destiny. But are you? When to get there, you have to agree with what the boss says. You have to agree that, you know, I'm not going to get paid what I'm worth. You're not in control of anything, and you're not in control of your accomplishments, because that all depends on if Dana White likes you. We've seen it. And we'll see it again. And so don't think that there aren't nefarious things going on in the UFC, that this is real athletes where you're just, and I shouldn't say real athletes, I should say a real athletic organization where, you know, the best are pitted against the best, and the best person gets to the top, and the best person stays at the top as long as they can. Not always the case in the UFC. We see it with John Jones and Francis Ngannou now. The two best fighters in the UFC want to fight and want to get paid. And what's happening? That fight's not happening. So say Gable Steveson knows I'm worth this much and I'm not going to fight this person for less than that much. Well, then guess what happens? He sits on the sidelines and his contract tolls, and he ends up being stuck in a contract that doesn't pay at all. Because if you're not fighting, you're not earning in the UFC. So there's no guarantee to make money in the UFC. There's no guarantee that you're in control of your accomplishments in the UFC. And all this is more or less down to what Dana White decides. What bothers me the most about what McCarthy says here is how similar it sounds to promoter speak from Dana White's "Do You Want to Be a Fighter?" speech. And here it is. Do I want to compete against the best and be the person in control of my accomplishments? Or do I want to make money, give up real competition, and have scripts tell me when I lose? That is basically promoter speak. Are you a real fighter? Are you a real man? If you are, well, then you're going to fight MMA. Bullshit. Here's what Gable Steveson should do. First of all, don't listen to what anybody has to say, because who gives a shit? Because it's your life. It's your career, it's your body, it's your brain, and you know the pros and cons going into it. So if you want to compete in MMA, do it. If you want to compete in WWE, do it. If you want to compete in MMA for the strict love of competition, cool. If you want to compete in WWE pro wrestling for the love of entertainment, for what McCarthy here terms as the money, cool. Do what you want to do. Don't be shamed into something because some knucklehead thinks that unless you compete in MMA, you're not a real quote-unquote fighter or a real quote-unquote man. You just won a gold medal in wrestling. You established yourself as a top-level athlete already. To do anything else is just bonus points. So, Gable Stevenson, don't listen to all this chatter. Don't fall for the promoter speak. Look out for yourself. Look out for your career. Look out for your mind and body. Consider what's best for you as a person in every way and do what you want to do. And if someone else doesn't like it, that's their problem and not yours. I think McCarthy has a good art here, but I think some of his words are maybe misplaced and maybe his role as a Bellator commentator has him kind of looking at this as a, and as his role in MMA throughout his life has him looking at this in a kind of skewed way. And that is unfortunate because the big picture is Gable Stevenson might be a different person than Kurt Angle. And so he should be able to decide what he wants to do and base it on what he wants and what he needs. And the thought that he's not a real athlete if he doesn't compete in MMA is laughable because got a gold medal to his name. He's good. He's good as an athlete. He's established himself. Dana White. So Laura Sanko got an opportunity to do commentary on the Dana White Contender Series. And from what I understand, it was a success. And I've been a proponent of having her do commentary for a long while, and I'm glad that she finally got the opportunity. She deserved it. She earned it. And now she has it. And from what Dana White says, she's going to start doing regular shows once the Contender Series ends. And good for her. But my problem with all this is, can Dana White do the right thing with still not sounding like an idiot? And in this case, the answer is a resounding no. So what he said when Sanko got the job, and I guess this was in the post-fight, post-card interview with White, he said, "Little miss, I don't have enough to do. I have plenty to do now, okay? So I guarantee I ain't going to be getting any text messages or phone calls from her that she doesn't have enough to do anymore. Like I said, be careful what you wish for." And I didn't see this interview, but a lot of people said that, well, he was clearly joking and whatnot, but I might have a longer memory than some folks. I might be a little less forgiving than some folks. But when you make a statement that comes across as sexist, which this does, because you never hear him talk like this about a man, I'm recalling that Dana White has a history of saying stupid things, of saying sexist things, of treating women as less than men. He refers to, on many occasions, he's referred to women media as honey and sweetie. He's referred to the women fighters as in the same way and as girls. And you don't hear him saying these things about the male fighters. You don't hear him calling them honey and sweetie and shit like that because, you know, it's dumb. These are adults. They are athletes, professional athletes, or they're adults and professional media members. To kind of talk down to them, to use sexist language, which White does, and I know somebody's going to say, well, you know, make an excuse for it, but it's sexist and it's meat-headed and it's dumb, and Dana White can't stop himself from doing this. So am I forgiving of this? No. Do I consider that he's joking? No, because if you've already established yourself as the sexist meathead, why should I cut you a break? Why should I think that you're joking? And are these people defending White as joking, unfamiliar with the fact that you can use a joke to mask your true feelings, to mask what you really want to say? It's not like no one's ever done that. So was it sexist what he said about Sanko? Yep. and you're not going to get me to say otherwise. And also, when he followed this up with Kevin Ioli, he said she'll do everything the guys do. Well, yeah, because she's a UFC commentator. Doesn't matter what her sex is. Is she good at her job? Yep. Is she a former professional fighter? Yep. Can she do her job well? Yes. So she'll do what every other UFC commentator does. Don't bring sex into this. Don't bring male, female into this unless, you know, it's in the back of your mind, which it clearly is in Dana White's case. It's in the back of his mind. Why? Because from what we've seen, he's said, done sexist, meathead things. You can deny it. You can argue it. But he's done it. And that's black and white. Colby Covington, Dan Lambert spoke about Colby Covington, and what he said kind of shocked me. And this was one of the things that, you know, he's no longer working with ATT, and for whatever reason. And what Lambert said was, if Colby had stuck to shitting on Brazil and maybe supporting the presidential nominee of his choice, he would have been fine in the gym. But when you start attacking other people in your gym and coming at other people that aren't even in your weight class or even in your gender or fighting, it doesn't make for a comfortable situation in the gym. And I think he's better off being in a smaller gym that can focus on him and he can keep his shtick going with everybody else in the world. So this tells me a lot about Colby Covington. What it tells me about Colby Covington above all is that he is more dedicated to his gimmick as whatever his gimmick is, stooge. He's more dedicated to the gimmick than he is to improving as a fighter, which I'm not shocked by at this point with Colby Covington because he doesn't seem like the brightest bulb. So if you have to leave one of the best gyms and one of the most successful gyms in MMA because you're an asshole and your gimmick has kind of turned into your real life persona and now you're an asshole to other people in the gym, well, that tells me that you're more dedicated to being Colby Covington, giant jackass, than you are to being Colby Covington, better fighter, best fighter I can possibly be. When you have to go to another gym just so you can stick to your shtick, stick to your gimmick, and the cost of that might be improving as a fighter, that tells me that you're not too bright. That tells me that you're looking at, well, if I keep this shtick going, I might be more popular. Will I be a champion? Maybe, maybe not, probably not, because I'm not getting trained with the best fighters in the best gym, but the gimmick is more important to me than actually winning. What's the sense in that? What's the sense in that? So Lambert's talk of Colby Covington struck me as kind of sad. If Covington is so dedicated to his shtick and to his gimmick that he's actually going to get worse as a fighter because he has to fight at gyms that are lesser than ATT because he's too much of an asshole to get along with others in the gym. It just says that Colby Covington has his priorities kind of screwed up. Something we found out on an episode of the MMA Hour is that the UFC announced that Ally Aquina is fighting, and I forget who his opponent was off the top of my head, but they announced the fight for New York. And here's what Iaquina told Ariel Helwani. He had no idea the UFC was going to announce this fight at UFC 268. I'm seeing they announced the fight, and I'm like, what the F? I haven't signed the contract. I hate when they do that. And this is a kind of bullying the UFC does. Is it subtle? I guess some people would consider it subtle because if the UFC is in talks with this fighter A and fighter B, and they say, all right, we're in talks here. What can we do to push this along a little faster? Let's just announce the fight. And that way, if the fighter backs out, we control the narrative. We can make them look bad. We can dump on them. And, you know, they pulled out of the fight. That's how we can sell it to the fans at that point. So if Iaquina decides the money is not good or there's things that he doesn't like about this fight, and he then says, you know what, I'm not going to sign this contract. Well, then the UFC says, well, we offered him the fight, and we had it all set. It was at New York City. It was at UFC 268. It was going to be on the pay-per-view card, but he backed out. And now Iaquinta looks like an ingrate, and maybe some fans give it the old, well, he's scared, you know, BS. And this is another way the UFC bullies its fighters into signing contracts that might not be good, that might not contain everything that that fighter might have wanted. But when your reputation then becomes at stake in the eyes of the fans, some fighters are going to consider that and sign the contract when maybe they didn't want to, but they kind of feel forced to do so because the UFC has already announced the fight, has already allegedly planned the fight card, and to back out of the fight at that point is going to hurt the UFC. And if you hurt the UFC, you hurt yourself because the UFC does not forget. So this is just a little way the UFC can bully fighters. And if those fighters value their reputation or don't think it's worth it to butt heads with the UFC, and I don't think Iaquinta is one of those fighters because we know what he's done in the past. But other fighters might, you know, decide it's not worth it. And then they sign a deal and now they got a bad contract for a fight and they didn't really want to take it, but the UFC bullied them into it. So always be suspicious when a fight goes from being talked about to being signed and the fighters don't really comment on it. And I'm glad Iaquinta brought this up, and I'm glad that the people will get to see what the UFC does. It's kind of little slimy tactics, but not going to stop them because they've been doing this for a long time. Conor McGregor, we've known for a long time that he's lacked some sense of self-awareness, but he took it up another level here in the last couple days when Anderson Silva gave him some advice to how to recover from the broken leg that McGregor suffered. And McGregor thanked Silva for his reaching out, speaking up. And then McGregor dumped on the other UFC fighters by saying this. I appreciate this message greatly, Anderson. Thank you. You know, since this freak injury happened to me, I've had very little support from my fellow colleagues. In fact, quite the exact opposite. The claws came out, but no worries. I love a little scratch from a bitch. See yous when I get yous little nobodies. And McGregor is either totally delusional at this point, trolling, or totally lacking in self-awareness. And it might be a combination of them all, but I kind of think it's the self-awareness thing here. So this is the guy who mocked Khabib Nurmagomedov's dead father. This is the guy that who does nothing for any other fighter but himself, who makes fun of other fighters for what they earn in the UFC, who talks down to other fighters, who will take any opportunity he can to mock and make fun of other fighters. And now he wants the support of these same people that he's dumped all over for the past few years. Come on now. Conor McGregor deserves nothing that he wants in this case. He doesn't deserve the respect from other fighters when he does shit like he's been doing. When he mocks Khabib Nurmagomedov's dead father, and now he wants other fighters to support him? Come on, man. No, you don't get that. You don't get it both ways. Either you're a shitty person and you get the rewards for being a shitty person, which is what McGregor's been getting, or you're a decent person and maybe some people look out for you and speak up on your behalf if you're a decent person. When was the last time Conor McGregor was a decent person to any other fighter? Been a long, long while. So you get what you get in this case, Conor McGregor. And you get silenced from your foes, and maybe some of them make fun of you too, because you don't get to mock someone's dead father and then skate away without having repercussions. Not how life works. So sorry, Conor McGregor. Maybe catch up on some self-awareness, and maybe somebody will stick up for you. You know, somebody other than that's on your payroll. Darren Till fights on Saturday, and I'm getting the feeling that Darren Till, you know, doesn't think things through. Here's what he said about trash talk in MMA. We're two men. We're about to go in there and rip the heads off each other. So if you're going to start getting offended with things that people say to your mom and that, maybe this isn't the sport for you. You need to go find another sport. Or if someone's saying something about your kids and shit like this, find something else to do, because you need to have thick skin in this sport. Especially you need to have thicker skin when you've got a man on top of you trying to elbow you straight in the face. That's how I look at it. And I see some point here in that this part here where the person is trying to, you know, beat the hell out of you. All right. That proves that you're in a sport that rewards toughness and expects toughness. But what does trash talk have to do with toughness? And I would flip this around on Darren Till, because this is the easy thing to do, and ask him, if you're the baddest of the bad, the hardest of the hard, the toughest of the tough, why do you have to debase yourself and talk about someone's mother and children to prove that you're tough? Isn't that the exact opposite of what you're doing? If you're so tough, and I'm not saying these fighters aren't, I know they are, but if you're so tough and so secure in that toughness, and so you know that you are the baddest of the bad, why do you have to debase yourself? Why do you have to lower yourself to talk about somebody's, in the case of Conor McGregor, dead father? Why do you have to talk about somebody's mother? Why do you have to bring children into it, bring country into it, bring religion into it, bring race into it? Why do you have to do all that if you're confident that you are the baddest of the bad? You don't. And the fighters that talk the loudest and beat their chest the most and then tell you that you should have thick skin and be able to take the words, well, I would say that a psychologist could probably analyze those fighters pretty well and could come up with some telling observations about those fighters. So if you're tough, if you're bad, if you're hard, if you're the baddest of the bad, why do you got to talk about it? Why do you got to bring the family into it? Why do you have to bring anything else into it? If you're that, if you're all that, go out there, fight, go out there and win and prove it. Show it. Don't tell it. Everyone can see it if you show it. So there's no reason to bring all this BS into the game, but it happens. And I don't get it. I don't get it one bit. And that's all I have for this evening. I will be back after the fights. And until then, everyone, stay safe.